Father, again, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your presence that is here with us. Lord, we thank you for the ways in which you have been working in our hearts this morning. Lord, we thank you for the victory that you have already given to us. And Lord, as we look to you through your word, we pray that our hearts will be open, that Lord, you might grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you, God, to edify us. Lord, we ask you to cause faith to be found in us. Lord, we ask you, God, to so work in us that you will be glorified and we, O God, would be able to be drawn closer to you. Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, and amen. So this morning, I want to share the first of perhaps a two-part series dealing with a culture of honor. A culture of honor. You know, we live in a society that has what we have classified recently a culture of cancellation, cancel culture, where if you don't like something, we just cancel it, you know. If you don't like a show that Netflix brings on, just cancel your subscription to Netflix. So we live in this type of cancel culture. It's not really new, it's just becoming more obvious to us. But is this cancel culture why, you know, so many marriages end in divorce? Somebody sees somebody else they like and just cancel the relationship with somebody else. And, you know, so we live in that type of culture. And there are times when it's necessary to cancel things. But then there are times when we need to realize that that's not the response that God wants from us. And so, as I share this morning, this part one is dealing with the benefits of honoring leaders. And I've found sometimes in the church, something happens over here in this church and people just cancel their attendance at church. Because in that one church, a person looked at me and didn't say hi, so just cancel it. And we need to appreciate that when it comes to the Lord, that we need to hear from him, we need to understand his word, we need to know when the Lord wants us to cancel something and when the Lord wants us to press through. And so why this is important is because as we talk this morning about honoring leaders, and as I've been studying it, I've come to appreciate that there is an avenue that God has for us to receive his blessings, which involves honoring leaders. And when one leader hurts us and we cancel our relationship with our leaders, we actually rob ourselves from receiving through an avenue that God has for us. And so, if you can get this principle this morning, I think it will change your perspective on things and it will bring you to a place where you can freely now know how to function and how to be able to honor those who are in leadership and how to receive the blessings that flow from that. So, you should have the bulletin there with an outline of some of the things I hope to share this morning. The Greek word for that is translated honor is timeo, and different types that comes from that, which really means to fix a value or to price. So it's up to the individual to fix a value upon others and to put a price and to elevate them. So that's what it means to honor. And it's really sometimes expressed in actual word and deed. And so if you turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, you find Christ responding to the Pharisees and the scribes of his day. Mark chapter 7 and verse 6, it says, he responded to the Pharisees and the scribes and says, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And so here you can see what Christ is trying to say is that honor really comes from within, from the heart. And we can say things with our lips, we can do things, but in our heart, if there's not that element of esteeming the individual for a particular thing, then all you're doing is going through the motions. And so when it comes to honor in terms of God's people, there are three different levels. The highest level, obviously, is honor that belongs to God and to God alone. That you know, and worship is part of that. And we declare, coming out of Revelation, that to Him belongs all glory, all power, all majesty, all honor belongs to the Lord. And so there's that level that all of us should be able to agree on, that when it comes to worship, when it comes to the Lord, no one and nothing comes close. That His name is to be honored. His name is to be held in high esteem. His name is to be lifted up above every other name. Amen. And we do that without any apology, because He deserves it. And then the next level is honoring leaders. And then the third level is honoring one another. So next time I'll share on honoring each other. Today I'm sharing on honoring leaders. So in the scriptures, Paul writes to Timothy. Timothy is there in the church in Ephesus. And he's giving Timothy guidelines for the church and how to appoint leaders. And he says in 1 Timothy 5:17 that the elders who lead well are worthy of double honor. Not just single honor, but double honor, because they're doing a good job at leading God's people. And he says, especially those who labor, or those whose work is that involves preaching and teaching. So this culture of honor then is supposed to be a part of God's church and God's people, where we value those that labor amongst us. But it goes beyond that. And this is where it becomes interesting. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read from verse 1. A scripture many of you already know. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then Paul wants children to know, he says, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the right thing. Now that phrase, in the Lord, is key. You see, it's not just obey your parents and the parents tell you to rob and steal and you're obeying them. No, it's in the Lord as unto the Lord. So that becomes key. That modifies it, children, you and me, all of us, that you obey your parents in a way in which is pleasing in the sight of God, that is consistent with the word of God. And where parents might be encouraging their children to do things that are contrary to the word of God, then children have no obligation to follow through on such directives. But where the directives are consistent or doesn't contradict God's word, then God is saying to children, obey your parents. That's a great place to say amen. Amen. We live in a society where the society is saying, no, it's parents, obey your children. It's amazing. Then the next verse, the verse that many of us have trouble with, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. I wonder if Paul knew my parents or something, because my mother would say, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. So I'm here today because I honored them. That's why I have a long life. But I don't think that's what he was talking about. He says this is the first commandment with a promise. God has given us incentives. He said, I know it's going to be difficult sometimes. So I'm going to give you some incentive. It's a commandment with a promise attached to it. And I believe, because it follows verse 1, that Paul is talking about honoring them in the Lord, or as unto the Lord. And he said, Joe Campbell, you don't know my father. And I said, that's true. It's easier to honor some parents than to honor others. Some parents end up being abusive, end up neglecting their children, all sort of stuff. But I believe that the principle here is talking about honor those who want who serve, who helped to raise you, who parented you through different stages in life, not just the person who gave you birth and forget about you for the next 60 years. No, the persons who helped to raise you. So for many of us, you might have several mothers and fathers. Maybe it's an older sibling. Maybe it's an aunt, a grandmother. Maybe you were in the foster care system and you had several people who parented you. I think that's a principle to honor these individuals. But honoring doesn't mean that you ignore any wrong that has been done. It doesn't mean that you try and make the abuse seem as if it really wasn't an abuse. No. That's not what God is talking about. That's not what Paul is talking about. That's why the promise is there. He's not talking about that. The fact is, if abuse happened, and it was wrong. If there was neglect, it was wrong. But I believe what Paul is trying to say is that look at those who have to raise you, and if you can find one thing, one good thing that they did in the Lord, you can honor them for that one good thing. Do you get that? So as I look at my father, for example, my father worked hard to make sure that we had food to eat, to make sure we had a place to sleep. He worked hard doing that. Many evenings he was drunk. So God is not saying ignore the fact that he was drunk, but God is saying if he worked hard, you can honor him for being a hard worker. And this is a good example as to how you can live your life and support yourself and take care of your family. And so I can honor him for that. And that doesn't mean that I'm saying he was the best of fathers. No. But I can focus upon the good things. And give God thanks for those good things. And in that way, honor him for those good things. Similarly for my mother. In fact, the reality that we're all here meant that somebody didn't abort us. Somebody kept us for the 9 months. And so the Lord is saying, attached to that, then in honoring our parents, is a promise that it will go well with you. In other words, you will have a life where things go well and people are going to look on and wonder what's happening and they don't realize it's because I found a thing to honor my parents through and by. And that's why God is causing my life to come together. You see, this is a promise that comes back from Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, it follows on and say that the children who curse their parents should be put to death. What does it mean to curse the parents? It's one thing to say that my father abused me. It's one thing to say that my mother neglected me. It's another thing to say, I wish that they have cancer and that they have all sort of aches and pains when they get older. Now I'm starting to curse them. Christ says to bless people who mistreat us. So instead of saying that, I say, and I pray that God would cause them to experience his love and his goodness and his mercy, rather than to release a curse upon them. These are some very important principles. And as I started to reflect on them in scripture, I really got very excited because I started to see an avenue that God has put there to release his blessings into my life. That it might go well with me and that I might have a long life of God's goodness and God's grace. And when the world looks on, they're trying to figure out this thing and they don't realize I'm falling through on this simple principle of honoring my parents. Many people end up in all sort of problems and issues. And if you were to ask them some simple questions, are you honoring your parents? And they're, if they can't say yes, then that might be the source of part of their problems. Hello? I'm telling you, this thing is so great. So throughout the rest of Ephesians 6, part of it, Paul goes on to talk to slaves and says, slave, basically honor, obey your masters in the Lord as unto the Lord, and you will be rewarded. Matthew chapter 6. Sorry, Mark chapter 6, not Matthew. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. I'm going to talk about us positioning ourselves to receive from God by honoring leaders. Verse 2. Well, verse 1. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him that he even does miracles? Then here are some people now. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And the brothers of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house, the prophet without honor. The word there, without honor, is atimeo, which can also be translated dishonor. Only in his own family, in his own hometown, is a prophet dishonored. What were they doing? They were saying, isn't this the little boy that used to run around here? Why is he acting like he's something important? Why is he, acting like he's some great rabbi? And what they were doing was dishonoring Christ. And as a consequence of that, when you read Mark 6 there, it says he could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. This thing that prevented them from being able to honor Christ, prevented them from being able to put themselves in a place where they could receive miracles. It's a very important principle. If they would have learned how to honor him, to recognize him as someone that God has set apart, they would have put themselves where Christ would have been able to do a lot more miracles in their midst. But instead they dishonored him, and it cut off that source of God's blessing into their community. Hey, it's a serious thing. In James chapter 5, James says, is any among you sick? He says, send for the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. What James was trying to get people to see is that God has set up some avenues for your blessing. So when you send for the elders, it's a way of honoring them. And as they would pray, healing would flow into your life. Your sins would be forgiven, James goes on to say. I had some friends my late years as a teenager, when I got exposed to the things of the Spirit. And I remember, I think it must have been Ian Andrews who was preaching on James 5 there. And these young ladies, they went to an Episcopalian church. One of them got sick. And they went to the priest and said, priest, father, according to James, he says, I must send for you to pray for me. I don't even know if this priest believed in the gifts of the Spirit or anything, but he was put on the spot, so he prayed. Guess what happened? She got healed because God honored her following through on his scriptures. That avenue of healing, that avenue of God's blessing was released. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, three verses here. Matthew 10 from verse 40 to 42. This is what Jesus is teaching. And he says, "He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he's a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Anyone who receives a righteous man because he's a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward." To receive someone like that means you're also honoring them. And so Christ is saying, when you receive the prophet, when you honor the prophet, you get the same reward as a prophet. When you honor someone just because they're a righteous person, you get the same reward as a righteous person. Verse 42, "If anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he's my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." John chapter 8. And verse 48. Jesus is again interacting with the scribes and the Pharisees. Verse 48. "The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" This is what they're saying about Christ. Huh? They despised Samaritans. And here they are, deliberately calling him a Samaritan, even though they know where his family is. Verse 49. Jesus says, "I'm not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me by calling him these names." Interesting stuff. I have several examples here of this principle. You look at Absalom. Absalom, you know, he was hurt because his sister was abused by his own brother. And he took matters into his own hands because his father didn't do anything. And he took the life of Amnon. And his father didn't talk to him for 5 years. The man is hurt. And we can understand that. But the problem for Absalom was that he allowed that to lead him into rebellion. He allowed that to prevent him from being able to honor his father. I mean, when God looks on, God says, "David's a man after my own heart." So it seems to me there are lots of stuff you could have found to honor his father for, but instead you focus upon this little area and he's hurt and led him to rebellion. And what happened? His life was cut short. As Ephesians 6 being fulfilled, his life was cut short. You guys are all so quiet. As I've been meditating on these things for a while, it has brought me to a place of rejoicing, because the next set I have there is Elijah and Elisha. Elijah comes to a widow at Zarephath. It's the middle of famine. Things are hard. But the Lord sent him to this widow. She's out there collecting some sticks to go and make a little fire to the last portion of flour she has, to make some cakes for herself and her son. And the prophet comes along and the prophet says to her, "Give me some of your bread to eat." And the lady explains to him, "This is all I have." And he says, "Give me first. Honor the prophet first." You get it? Yeah. And as she honored the prophet, her supply never ended. Because it became an avenue for God's blessing into her life.
Right.
If she was to become full of pride and arrogance and like, "Well, who are you and where did you come from?" She'd have locked herself off from that avenue of God's blessing.
Right.
And later on, when her son died, because she had honored the prophet, she could go back to the prophet, and the prophet took her son and prayed for him, and he was raised from the dead. That's awesome. Then comes Elisha later on, and Elisha is walking through a certain place, and this woman sees him, and she realizes, it's the prophet. He comes along this path quite frequently. You know what, hubby, let's just make a little room and make a little a place where he can stop and stay. Let us just honor the prophet. And so they made this room, and Elisha stayed there, and after a while, Elisha said to his servant, how can we bless this woman? And his servant says, she has no son. And so Elijah said to her, you know what, you're going to have a son. She got that son because she honored the prophet and opened herself up to God's intervention in her life and in her circumstances. And even when that son died, she says, you know what, I'm going to find the prophet and make him come and pray for my son. And someone's raised again from the dead. I'm telling you, friends, there's a principle out there. An avenue that God has in place to release his blessing in your life and in my life. Yeah. And the devil would want me to focus upon the negative things rather than find one good thing that I can honor my parents by or honor this leader by. Noah had three sons. After the flood, Noah had too much to drink and exposed himself. He was in his own tent, but he exposed himself. It was understood that you don't look upon your parents' nakedness. Here comes Ham. Sees his father's nakedness, and then goes and tells his other brothers about it. That's dishonoring to his father. His two brothers, having heard, the scripture says they took a sheet and walked backways in to that tent and covered their father's nakedness. They honored their father. And the scriptures tell us in Genesis that when Noah discovered what took place, Noah released a curse upon Ham and blessings upon the two that honored him. This is what I'm saying, saints. They could have said, he's so irresponsible, drinking and getting drunk and exposing himself. And become all self-righteous rather than doing the right thing which the two brothers did by covering their father's nakedness, by honoring him. And so they got the blessing and Ham got the curse. These are important principles. You want to go back to Elisha? Shortly after he was anointed prophet, the story tells us in 2 Kings 2 that there were some young men. They see the prophet. And the prophet apparently had a bald head. And these young men decided to mock the prophet. Go on up, you bald head. Go on up, you bald head. That's dishonoring to the man that God has set aside. And so the prophet cursed them. And it said that, I think it's two bears came out and killed 42 of them. That's amazing. While before Elisha became prophet, he was there serving Elijah, honoring Elijah, and put himself in a place to receive the double portion of God's blessing from Elijah because he honored him. And so as I've been looking at these things, I'm starting to see, whoa, I've been missing out on some stuff here, Lord. Daniel served in a secular, ungodly kingdom. Served his kings. But Daniel learned how to honor these kings in the midst of that ungodly circumstance. So much so when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, you can see the approach of Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel understood the interpretation of the dream. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4, O king, I wish this dream was for your enemies. I mean, Daniel has been taken forcibly from his homeland. He's a Jew serving this Babylonian king. And there's no rejoicing in Daniel's voice like, oh, king, you're going to get what you deserve now. No, he was like, king, I really wish this was for your enemies. You are that great tree that God has exalted. But you are that same tree that's going to be cut down to just become a stump. And Daniel, because honoring people don't mean you don't speak the truth and speak God's word. Daniel spoke God's word and said to Nebuchadnezzar, take my simple advice. Turn from your wicked ways. And walk in humility before God. And Nebuchadnezzar took the word for a year and then forgot about the word. Figured, well, I'm all right now. And the Bible says right then and there, God struck him and he was out for 7 years or so until he came to his senses. And because of Daniel honoring this king, when the king came to his senses, he made the decree that people all over his kingdom should worship the name of the Lord. Because of Daniel honoring him, the name of the Lord was exalted. The name of the Lord was lifted high. A similar thing with the Hebrew boys. They were saying, king, we know our God is able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, that's all right. They had an attitude of honoring the king. So that when they came out of the fire, you know what happened? The king promoted them and put them in authority. So God is showing me that there's a principle here that when we learn to honor those who are in leadership, it puts us in a place where he can release his blessings, his grace, his intervention into my life and into my circumstances. And if I choose to start to speak negative things about these people and to curse them and to proclaim all sort of stuff, which is contrary to what Jesus taught, I put myself in a place where I could receive God's judgment. Or at least the blessings will be cut off. I have another example here in my notes. Abigail and Nabal. You know, David and his men took care of Nabal's servants when they were out there and made sure that nobody attacked them, made sure all their cattle and their sheep were taken care of. I know David sends word to Nabal saying, what can you do to help us? We need some food. What can you do to help us? And the Bible says that Nabal insulted David's men. So who is this David? Maybe he's one of them who's rebelling against his leader, his king. Who is he? And insulted David. In other words, he dishonored David. And David was about to go and wipe him out when Abigail got word. And she said, my husband is a fool, just like his name. And so she came and she honored David. What was the end result? God struck Nabal dead. Because he dishonored David. And Abigail was the one that David chose to marry because she honored him. I don't know about you, but it seems pretty clear to me now. So, as I said, when I look at my father now, I can say, you know what? I thank God for a man who worked hard, made sure I went to school, made sure I had food to eat, and not focus upon the negative things. And I put myself then in a place that all may go well with me, and I might have long life, and people might become envious as I see the blessings of God in my life. I know you haven't heard these things before, but they are important principles. Hey. So I put here my notes. Some possible cause for dishonoring. Why would people dishonor leaders? Why would they dishonor the parents? Sometimes because they have been hurt. Paul says in Ephesians 4, you know, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only that which is good, gonna be graceful to the hearers. And so sometimes because people have been hurt, they say all sort of stuff about people and end up dishonoring them because they've been hurt. Sometimes they were hurt by that person, sometimes they've been hurt by somebody else, and they carry it over now into the circumstance, into the situation. And cut themselves off from receiving the blessing that God has, had come through that avenue of honoring. Sometimes, like Absalom, that hurt leads not just to anger, but leads to complete rebellion. And you can see it in people. All of a sudden, they choose to do different things. They become rebellious. Sometimes it's just a lack of respect that causes people to dishonor somebody in leadership. Ham lacked respect for his father. That's why he went in and looked at his father's nakedness. And we can argue saying, well, his father should have gotten drunk. That's besides the point. You dishonored your father. He didn't have the respect he should have had. Reuben, one of the sons of Jacob, dishonored his father by having sexual relations with one of Jacob's concubines. And thus he lost the right, the firstborn privilege. He lost it because he dishonored his father. So now this is one of the stuff in my tool belt when I'm counseling people now. I'm going to ask them questions about their parents to see if they're honoring their parents. Because maybe part of the problem is that they're dishonoring their parents. And here I am praying for them. And God's like saying, no, help them to learn to see something good, one thing good, and to give God thanks for that one thing. And that will open up the avenues for the blessings to flow into their life. The Pharisees lack respect for Christ when they start to call him a Samaritan and demon-possessed. I mean, that's a height of insult back in those days. To look at the rabbi and say, you're demon-possessed. To look at him and know, you know his family, and say, you're a Samaritan. Somebody that they despised. Sometimes that's pride and arrogance. That's what his neighbor's problem. You're so full of pride and arrogance. It was hard for him to show honor to David, who was like a little shepherd boy running away from King Saul. David's wife did a similar thing. After David brought in the ark and David was rejoicing before the Lord, she dishonored David by saying, look at how you have disgraced yourself. You're acting like one of, you know, so foolish, like one of the low men in our society. She was dishonoring David. And I give you that scripture there in the outline. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 22, it says, David says, I will become even more undignified than this. Because she thought, man, you're so undignified and all sort of stuff. And she's saying this so others can actually hear. And David says, you know what, I'll become even more undignified than this. I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And verse 23 says, and Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children till the day of her death. Because she dishonored David, who was seeking to worship his God. So as old timers would say, if you don't have anything good to say, keep your mouth shut. I'm just saying. It's very, very important if we can get this principle into our spirits. So not because somebody in our thoughts, not because your father neglected you, not because he verbally abused you, means you just cancel your relationship with him. It's cancel culture. What? Nothing to do with him because he verbally abused me. No, you better learn to find something positive to say so you can receive God's blessing. Not because you are in a church and a leader abusing me and saying, you know what, I want nothing to do with church. It's an avenue of God's blessing for your life. Oh, help us, Lord. The Pharisees said these things about Christ because they were jealous. Sometimes it's plain jealousy. You think you can do something better than the other one. So you start to dishonor them. Let me share quickly with us some hindrances to us honoring leaders. As I've mentioned and suggested, sometimes you've been abused by people in authority. And so it becomes hard. Sometimes because of the way you were brought up, it's hard for you to trust people. So how can I honor them when I don't even trust them? If your parents and one of them were an addict, it makes it harder for you to trust people. Some of us have, what I put here in my notes, a stronghold of pessimism. So you become very cynical. And you become cynical of everybody, including leaders. So how are you going to honor them if you're very cynical? Some people just have poor self-identity, poor self-esteem. So it's hard for them to honor somebody else because they see themselves as being next to dirt. And then for some people, they're so full of so much pride and selfish ambition that it's hard for them to honor somebody else because it's as if, here you are, and I'm thinking, well, I can do that better than them anyway, so why would I want to honor them? And these things become hindrances. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. Because honoring leaders is an avenue that God has put there so we can receive the blessings of God. So we can receive the miracles of God. So we can receive the healings of God. And the devil knows this, so the devil reminds us of all our hurts. He reminds us of all the abuse of authority that is out there, that we have seen or perhaps experienced ourselves. The devil knows that, and so he reminds us of all the things our parents didn't do or the negative things that they actually did. Because he knows if you just find one thing and start to honor them for that one thing, you open up yourselves for God's blessing to flow in your life. I'm going to ask us to stand. Let's stand. I encourage you to do your own study and see if you don't see the principle there. And then we learn to honor the people that God puts in our life, people who are in our authority, we open ourselves for God's blessing. And if we ever dare go to the other extreme to start to curse them, to put ourselves in a place, not only for the blessings to be cut off, but for us to actually receive curses. In fact, as I said in the Old Testament, if a child would curse their mother or father, according to Deuteronomy, they should be put to death. Let's just bow our heads. Maybe there are some people in this house, and perhaps people participating online, where you struggle honoring people in authority. Maybe you have this cynical outlook. Maybe you're abused by somebody in authority. Maybe you're abused in a church. Unfortunately, churches are places where people sometimes end up being abused and mistreated. Maybe you're abused by your own family, your own parents. And this morning you're saying, Joe Campbell, I want to get over this hump. I want to get over this thing that prevents me from being able to honor my parents, honor those who are in authority. I want to get over it. It's a real struggle. But I want to get over it this morning. One of the keys really is forgiveness. To acknowledge that wrong was done and to deliberately forgive the individuals who wronged you. So this morning, if you're in this house, and you're saying, Joe, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me that I will be able to get over this hump? Whatever it is, maybe just cynical because of life. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. A couple of hands there. Anybody else? I want to get over this hump. Those who are participating online. Maybe you are mistreated and it makes it hard for you to honor your parents, or hard for you perhaps in a church setting to honor the leaders there. What I'm going to do, rather than just have people come up here, since I want to also help those who are online, I'm going to lead all of us in a prayer. A prayer where we acknowledge the struggles we have and ask God for His grace and His forgiveness. So we can put ourselves in a place where the blessings of God can flow as they should. Where things can actually go well with you in your life. Well, so that others looking on can say, yes, that's well. Not just a subjective well. Talking about an objective thing where people look on and say, man, I wish my life was like yours. So say this prayer, all of us, after me. Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
I thank you for his shed blood.
Thank you for shed blood.
And this morning,
I acknowledge
that I am your child.
That I am your child.
And Father God,
I forgive.
You put in the name of the person or persons who abused right there. Father God, I forgive for hurting me, for mistreating me, for neglecting me, for abusing me. And Father, I ask you to help me to trust again, to be able to honor those who are in authority. Help me, Father, to be able to honor my parents. Help me, Father, to be able to honor those who are in spiritual leadership in my life. Help me, Father, to be able to honor people who are around me. And I give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Of it all. deserve the glory. Day and night. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day. Incense rise, day and night, night and day, that incense rise, day and night, night and day, that incense rise, day and night and day, that incense rise, day and night, night and day, you worthy of it all. Things to you are all things, you deserve the glory. Yes, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. For from you are all things, to you are all things, Lord, from you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory.
Father, we thank you that you are a faithful God. Now we thank you that you said there's a promise of your blessings being released in our lives as we learn to honor, Lord, people around us, including those who are in authority. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are faithful to your word. And so, Lord, we this morning just declare that we are your children and you will take care of us. And so, Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and everyone said, and amen.